He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to Friday morning, everyone. This is Barry Kite and Paul Carlson sitting in for Bill Gunderson today with the January 8th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Good morning, Paul. You with us?
I am, Barry. Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How was your first full week of 2021, sir?
Well, it's been a good week, with the exception maybe of the events in D.C., but, you know, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
And how that maybe affects the markets going forward. But, you know, overall, yeah, generally a good week. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, kind of in terms of turmoil, seems like, you know, 2021 kind of started, kind of looked a bit like 2020. But, you know, I think as the week, has gone on, I think it's more of a, I think we're getting a bit of a more positive tone. Hopefully out of Washington, or no tone would be nice. And maybe we just don't hear much for the next little bit there. So hopefully, hopefully cooler heads prevail from that perspective. But, what was the, it's another thing that was the same essentially is, the market did, yesterday or this week, just as it did in 2020, right? You had some of the dark.
Making new highs.
Yeah. Making new highs, on the heels of, one of the darkest days in, American history. From that perspective, but the market showed resilience, pushing to all-time highs yet again. So it just goes to show you.
Right.
I mean, it just seems like the more of the same in terms of the market feels bulletproof. If you I guess the various COVID-19 vaccines, or if they're Kevlar, then I guess that means the stimulus and low rates are some form of liquid courage for the markets. I don't know, but we joke, but it's one of those unique times, I think, where kind of any news is good news for the market, good or bad. And kind of go back to, we've talked about it before, but kind of going back to coming out of 08-09 in terms of easy money, whether it was whatever version of QE we were on at the time, right? bad news was, more reason for, QE infinity. And then good news was, we're recovering, good for the market. So I think, just where we have and kind of, some of the backdrop that we have in terms of easy money and growth, pent-up demand, all those, I think, are just factors for, the market continuing to look forward and continuing to hit those all-time highs. So, and yesterday what we had, across the board, you had, oil is above $50 a barrel. It's been there for a bit now, I think.
It's 51.5 today. It's up 60 cents or 1%.
Yep. Yeah, and so an easy thing to look at in terms of demand and kind of global demand for energy. Obviously, that's been a key factor in different forms of energy with the electric vehicles, which we'll get into some information on some of those names in probably the second segment. But you want to go ahead before we get any deeper, Paul? You got an update maybe on the global markets, and we'll kind of get things kicked off.
I was going to do the domestic market first.
Yeah, hit that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so the S&P 500, we're up 0.5%. That's 17 points to 3,821. The Dow 30 is up 19 points, 31,060. NASDAQ up almost 1%, up 117 points, that's 13,184.
The small cap. Yesterday.
Yes, it's one after another, isn't it, Barry? The small cap Russell 2000 index up 0.5% or 12 points, that's at 2109. And as I said, crude oil, 51.5, up 60 cents. And then big plunges in the precious metals sector. We've got gold down over 2.5%. That's a drop of $51 an ounce to $1,862. Silver down, of course, even more, 4.5% or $1.21. That's down about to $26 an ounce. And then the all-important 10-year, we've got at 110 now. So we're definitely through that 1%, and that old resistance is now going to probably become support for the 10-year yield. So
yeah, and that move in rates is probably, you know, mathematically, you know, is gonna bring you know, is gonna bring the price of some of those precious metals down, storage costs, right? So the thought process there is, you know, you could have the money in the bank, right, earning some interest, or holding the bullion, right? You know, not only do you have to pay for storage costs,
insurance,
also losing opportunity costs, right, because it doesn't pay any interest. So that, you know, it was probably a number of factors, but certainly the bump up in treasury yield is probably weighing on that a bit. Of course, mm-hmm. Bitcoin, that's
you and
another,
Bill.
Another whole, it's another whole perspective. In terms
almost 42,000 right now.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit on the specifics of that here in a bit. But the odd thing is it doesn't really surprise me. It's just the upside has to be capped at some point with government regulation. Whenever that is, I don't know what level or when that will occur. But it seems like that's kind of the going to be.
Or our government's becoming more friendly to it. But maybe you're right with the caveat of more regulation.
Yeah, and well, the tricky thing to me is it doesn't have to just be the U.S. regulating it, right? There, by definition, it moves across
it's global.
Country lines. Yeah. So it only takes one country, right, to kind of kick that domino effect off, or at least reduce some mm-hmm. of that demand. In terms of economic news, we'll get into the payroll numbers probably when we come back. But in terms of that's kind of the big economic news today, the big wind gauge, if you will, in terms of the recovery. So we'll look and dive into those numbers when we get back from the break. But in terms of Bitcoin, I guess we'll go ahead and finish our thoughts here. The to me, mathematically, right, from a supply, it's a function of supply and demand, with more and more, whether it's hedge funds, institutions, whether it's PayPal allowing you to purchase Bitcoin on their app, Square,
right,
of course,
accessibility
a while ago,
yeah,
right, yeah, and so accessibility has increased demand. And, like we said before, and just in case of PayPal, folks who want to buy Bitcoin every day on PayPal is kind of essentially they're soaking up all of the, supply from any new mathematically created Bitcoin in terms mm-hmm. of how Bitcoin reaches the market. So, when you have that, supply and demand mismatch, right, and mathematically it should only go up, right, but it's the risk, right, of regulatory risk of it kind of ceasing to be as fungible or as it is across country lines or state lines or across the internet, what have you.
Well, so speaking of international trade and so forth, I do have those global markets now.
Yeah,
if you want me to,
yeah, let's get those real quick.
Over those real quick.
Yeah.
We had the London FTSE 100, just down 0.1%, 8 points. The German DAX was up 0.625% to 14,054. The CAC 40 in France was up 0.33%, or 21 points, to 5,691. And the Nikkei 225. Up to 0.3% or 650 points to 28,139.
Yeah, that whole Europe continues to struggle in terms of coronavirus. I think they're making starting to make some more approvals and progress from the vaccine standpoint, but it's just you know, hard to coordinate a hard to coordinate various countries. If we have trouble here with states, you can only imagine, right, when you're dealing with, you know,
especially now that the UK dropped out of the Eurozone. Yeah, for example.
Right, and then
they had the more virulent strain, right?
Yeah, and that just continues to, you know, kind of spiral into into decay as well. I know there was some story from the London mayor just talking about some of the dire circumstances there. So, Godspeed to those there, and hopefully get kind of pushed through that. But in terms of in terms of what we got lined up, we'll be we'll get to some news in terms of the employment numbers, and we'll look at the popular EV space, and we'll take the temperature of that. So when we get back, looking forward to it, and just getting started here on Best Stocks Now Radio. Quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with your hosts Barry Kite and Paul Carlson sitting in for Bill today. I'm hoping hey Paul, giving Bill a little leeway to get on that newsletter a bit early this morning. So looking forward to getting that one out this week and see what's on tap. So the been enjoying the technical indicator section lately, just in terms of
absolutely
where we've been at, you know, where we've been at in the markets. So that part's been you know, kind of a where I kind of start at the beginning lately. So
it's, yeah, absolutely.
Yep. With the size of it, it's more of a, you know, clients kind of see it more of as a buffet sometimes. So you kind of reading it from cover to cover is a bit tricky, but you know, kind of bounce. I usually normally just bounce around on it, and then some of it even catch still relevant later on in the week. So it's a great resource. So
yeah, and you can get that at GundersonCapital.com, right, Barry?
Yep, that's right. Yes, you just go there, contact us, you can sign up for the free trial. And you know, happy to kind of be here, you know, be a resource here. Any kind of portfolio ideas, happy to share them and bounce them off of us. So that's what we're here for. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So did we want to go over the economic report that just came out about an hour and a half ago?
Yeah. So yeah. I think right on cue, right? The big economic news of the day was the December non-farm payrolls and unemployment rate. And I'll let you kind of dive into the numbers a little bit if you want. But, you know, certainly not a great report. But as we mentioned, right, markets apparently seem unfazed. Up now, or see if they still are.
It was a disappointing report, but the market will look at it the other way around, which is, you know, waiting for another round of stimulus, right?
So, right. Yep.
The shutdown, obviously, like in California and so forth, has impacted, you know, the non-farm payrolls. There was a loss of 140,000 jobs. Versus a consensus of an increase of 75,000. And makes the unemployment rate now 6.7%. The decline, first time since April, reflects the recent increase in coronavirus cases and efforts to contain the pandemic. That reinforces the message that Fed Chair Powell has been making since the pandemic started, that the economy will follow the course of the virus. As such, expect more job losses in January, said economist Mohammed El-Alarian.
I think the kind of silver lining there is there's a reason for the loss, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a specific reason in terms of,
and hopefully it's temporary.
Yeah, and it seemed, you know, short of, you know, your sectors that you would expect, right? Hospitality, being a big one, airline, travel, that type of thing, but. A lot of the employment, has come back, has shown to be very, inelastic in terms of, being in terms of permanence, right? The so of course all of our jobs are affected in some sort of way. But as you're, whether it was, unemployment and then, kind of a furlough and rehire, the idea initially, right, was to not have to, get rid of workers and then, do the whole rehiring all, all over again, which is, costly and just a, just kind of a drag on the whole system in terms of how quickly you can recover. So I think...
Well, you lose talent, you lose talent and you lose experience, and then you're less productive when you have the new hires. And
right.
So, I wonder if that's why, we're seeing an increase in average hourly earnings. That's I guess, one bright spot. It was up 0.8%, or 23 cents to $29.81 per hour on the average hourly earnings. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's a bright spot.
Yeah, and you would expect, those who don't, for instance, versus having to let someone go, right? You're, kind of have a reduction in hours, where you're still employed, but just not at the say normal level that you're used to being at. So, that piece I think will be kind of is positive from where when you're working, right, and the actual the actual need for you being there is going up. So. Versus artificial, because on the flip side of that, right, you've got certain, artificial hires, right, where, whether the company receives some kind of, government assistance loan, right, and they can't fire, even though they may, may need to, let go in terms of, ongoing concern of the business. So it's, I think, it all makes sense to me when you see it. So, to me, that's a good thing. It'd be, if we look at this and, the numbers were kind of contradictory, right, well, then that's, that's where, you don't know if that recovery is going to come back as fast. And, I think, the market's shown, in the employment market's shown that, it's been pretty inelastic and fairly resilient, at least,
right.
Along a vast number of sectors, the ones not quite as directly affected long term, like hospitality.
I was going to add that we talked about oil earlier as an indicator. I mean, along with the unemployment, now I'm looking at U.S. Steel getting a upgrade from Deutsche Bank.
If you look
at steel prices, you've got hot rolled coiled steel prices. They've hit a peak after last year's second half rally, which saw prices jump from $435 to $990. And so that's significant in terms of, indicating demand and an improving economy, I would think.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this price has to do with, I think some of that pricing that, previously, right, had to do with some of the tariffs in place where, you had, for a long period there, you had the Chinese dumping, steel onto the U.S. market. And so driving down prices. And then so through some tariffs and other things, right, they kind of got, that price back up in the U.S. But now I think that extended, now from here, right, it's a demand, it's a demand piece. I think, Bill and I actually had a client who was talking about they were building a home and the amount the price of wood
the lumber that was a big rally many months ago
and so and that was kind of a trickle down effect right through a real life effect where you had a client whose building costs were going up significantly from that perspective but it's
through the roof pun intended.
Yeah, and it's a double, and it's kind of a, exponentially, you've also got, a combination, short of demand, but you also have, some supply issues when you're, running into production issues with, whether it's COVID, lockdowns, those types of things. And also you just, the dollar going down, right? Lumber's denominated in dollars with the, with the dollar going down, all else being equal, price of lumber goes up. So, the dollar is having a big effect on commodities as well right now. But
that's true.
One piece of the commodity that's trying to get insulated would be our electric vehicle space, which has been huge, good for us, and then just good for the market in general. And We've got our resident expert, Paul, here for Tesla expert, and we'll dive into that when we come back in the second half of the show.
Come back for the second half.
Yes, sir. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with the host Barry Kite and Paul Carlson sitting in for Bill. I'm a planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, and Paul is our fixed income manager, and he's been doing a great job with the bond portfolio.
Thank you, Barry.
We had
another good year last year. We're up 8.75% in total return on the bond portfolio.
Yeah, that's a great job. Yeah. Not the easiest or sexiest market to talk about or be in currently. So, I think a lot of people forget though it's the by far the largest largest market in finance.
Yeah.
Period. So.
But it has a place for those that, with the faint of heart or without the intestinal fortitude of being in the equity market, or maybe they want to have a combination to sort of smooth out the volatility.
From portfolio construction, they certainly have a place. You've got to have, something zigging while everything else is zagging, right? So,
mm-hmm.
And that's how I think, construction-wise, that's why I think the strategy you put together in terms of purchasing the individual bonds is based on
Best Stocks Now methodology,
right? Yeah. Which is a much better way to go about it than it's just buying mutual funds from a portfolio construction standpoint have just let us down from. Whether it's 08-09 in March of 2020, right, and that's why the Fed kind of had to step in. But when you own it yourself, you don't have to worry about all the other investors that are in a fund.
You can own it till maturity, right?
When you're in a mutual fund, if everybody else goes for the door, right, even if you're okay with the exposure because it has a purpose in your portfolio, you're still going to be penalized because everyone else is. Selling at the bottom, essentially. So,
right.
Yeah, you should. I think the way we're going about and getting that exposure is just the best way, certainly, from a historically the last couple of go rounds, because that's what we have the bonds there for, right? To be that cushion. When everything else is not looking well, right?
Speaking of not looking well, or go ahead.
No, go for it.
Boeing fined $2.5 billion with the conspiracy. Oh, I've got a dog here.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, we're dog friendly here at Gunderson Capital. So.
I'll okay let you read that one.
We're
Barry.
Okay with a few cats too, here and there.
Just yeah, there you go.
The hypoallergenic ones. I've got a bit of an allergy. So. From that perspective, I think Boeing's down, about 56 basis points. They're down about 0.5%. I think the news, in reality, I think it's one of these rip the Band-Aid off. And then, kind of moving forward, because I think they accepted what criminal charges and right, you had the two large fine, and it's just they reference. I saw the CEO's statement on it, and it was just focused on not necessarily him taking blame, right, but the just in terms of the company and. And just kind of getting them back on track in terms of from an engineering perspective. So,
hopefully,
yeah, that's what we're all hoping for, certainly. And you know, that kind of, you know, that piece from segue into, you know, what worked right in 2020, in the, you know, the broad market, you know, kind of, breakout for the electronic vehicle market, in 2020. We certainly, our portfolios certainly, benefited from that. Whether it was, whether it's a, like Boyd, who actually, is a manufacturer for a number of different inputs in those, whether it's chip.
Yeah, that's, that's BYDD, Boyd.
That's right. Yep. And then, chip makers, right? We've gotten, increased our exposure, over the year to UMC. And then, of course, Taiwan Semi, I think it's a TSM, right?
Yes.
And, EV, right, is going to require more chips. Just saw something recently today, and it kind of plays into some of the reason we're holding these chip companies is, supply and demand. Price is driven, a lot by that, especially on the lower end of the spectrum, meaning your companies that make chips that aren't, they're sophisticated by mine and your standards, Paul, but they're not, powering, customly made.
So you're talking about the autonomous vehicle, right? So we're
right,
going to need that kind of computing power.
Yeah, and just all the different sensors, right? So even, yes. If you're on, a level three or level, level three autonomy, right? You're still
or heading,
need those
heading
sensors.
That way.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So,
and, Tesla actually used to use NVIDIA, and then they developed their own, architecture.
Right. Yep. And
so it's all internal now. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So they became an OEM essentially of creating their own. Yeah. And that's some of that, of course, is creating, is owning your own technology. Right. And then you're not as reliable on suppliers and having to, be more susceptible to that supply and demand. But, just in kind of overall in the EV space, I think, 2020 was more about, exposure, right? So if you had any type of exposure, right, to electronic vehicles, right, likely, you went up, short of Nikola, right? I think, if we're looking at 2021, right, and, I think, looks to be some of the easy money, right, has probably been made, right, in the EV space. And now it's going to be more about execution, right? In 2021, do you have deliveries of new vehicles? What do you have, in terms of R&D? So I think you're going to kind of have more of a, even 2020 was more, say, of an, ETF, buying an ETF or in the electric, vehicle space.
Did you see the picture of that NIO electric vehicle? It's a good looking car.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, that symbol's NIO, NIO.
Yeah.
It's actually up right near its high right now. Actually making a new high as we talk. It's up
6%.
Yeah, it
is. Yep, right there.
Yeah.
Yep. And that whole, I think that, that space is going to be, Li Auto is another example, right? They have, the Li One. Vehicle,
mm-hmm.
right? It's just a single vehicle. That's, that's what they focused all their R&D on, right? And it's, it's paid off. So from the, execution risk, right? Their execution risk should go down over time, right? Because of the fact that they've, proven concept and been able to roll out, right? A new vehicle. So, the most important thing is all these companies are young, even Tesla, and we know they've had, they had hiccups, along the way. Whether it's recalls, you're going into a new industry, and it's very disruptive. So I think, this year is going to be more about, winners and losers in terms of, stock picking within that space than just, having simple or dumb exposure to it. And we've worked that into our portfolios, and it's been, one piece of it is, it's kind of a natural hedge for the portfolio, right? So if you had for instance, a Democrat, Democratic blue wave, even though we consider it more, much more purple, the 08, coming out of 08, right, that was much larger majorities in the House and Senate. than what we're looking at now. So, but those, you know, that headwind is, you know, tailwind has helped, help the EV space. And it's also helped us hedge, right, against, in terms of stock selection, the mm-hmm. portfolio, depending on, you know, depending on which political party, was in power. So, it's been a, you know, been a great trade. I think it's just, you know, I think going forward, right, it's going to be more
sector rotation, right? That's what's
yeah.
occurred.
Yeah, but more mm-hmm. of those individual names, right, are going to be mm-hmm. You know, going to be the key. And so you know, looking at, you know, Apple, you know, they're coming online at some point, right? They've been talking to
hiring old
everyone. They hired an ex-Tesla exec. They're talking to Hyundai. I think there's been reports what they're talking to Volkswagen and even Tesla. So it'll be, you know, a lot of movement in that space. And like I said, I think it's going to be a lot more focused on individual names versus the overall space itself. But, well, we'll, you know, day's going by quick. We'll be back for the fourth quarter, and we'll get into our, we'll reveal our stock of the day. Paul and I'll be right back. Welcome back here to the fourth and final hour, fourth and final quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. It's gone by fast, but I'm Barry Kite, and here with our bond guru Paul Carlson, getting to the last segment.
Hello.
And Paul, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Yep. And so we're standing in for our Captain Bill today. And in terms of stock of the day, it's going to look. I was looking back. It's been a great holding for us. Fiverr International.
Yeah.
The symbol there is FVRR. It's up about up a little. What about almost 5%?
5%.
5% today. Yeah. It's
dollars. It's at 231.70. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a very unique. You know, very unique. Company in general, if you think of Shopify, except for services. So,
mm-hmm.
For instance, you know, if you need some kind of graphics, graphic design, whether it's for a poster or a website, you can go to the Fiverr site, and they'll connect you seller of services with folks that then businesses that need that. So. It's kind of a similar model. What Upwork, I think, is one of their competitors, and we actually own Upwork, I believe.
We own both. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And Upwork's a little bit more unique in terms of valuation. I think their valuation's a bit much cheaper than Fiverr. So they're a good pair to own in the space, I think, together. And so, but
it used to be a small cap, but I'm looking at it now. It's worth $8 billion.
Yeah,
so it's no longer a small cap.
No, and it's a good looking chart.
It grew last year's performance of FVRR was up 730%.
Yeah, it was one of those that you started. It was popping up on when I get an alert from Seeking Alpha, there'd be like four or five, alerts that, Fiverr is on, pick your analyst firm's top five list for 2021. They've certainly gotten a lot of play, and the, companies like Skills, I think Bill mentioned on here, last week, I believe, I think it's SKLZ, and I think that's a newer, I think that came from a SPAC, if I'm not mistaken, but, it's a similar, similar type of, concept, in terms of how they're, trying to, kind of just taking that gig economy, further. right? You've got you've got Uber drivers from service, from services, right? We've got folks delivering your meals, and then this is kind of
and your groceries
this takes it even further to where you have someone who's at home who has a a skill in that they can essentially work from home and run their own business and kind of Fiverr's kind of meeting kind of just creating a marketplace right for those two to connect.
Which, it brings the consumer and the provider together, right?
Yeah, which is hard. We've got a lot of clients who are business owners. We're mm-hmm. essentially business owners ourselves. But the, it's not an easy task just going out there and hey, I'm looking for, some graphic design work or
right.
digital, it's a much it's a hard
more efficient for everyone,
right? Yeah. So I think having a space, putting that together, and then having review processes, right, and being understanding who the work that's been done by someone on there before, so you get a little kind of that Amazon review kind of feel as well,
mm-hmm.
Right? And so I think overall just kind of a very interesting company, and in terms of the app, as you would imagine, you mentioned the 700 percent return. It's certainly going to rank high in our
rankings. So it's ranked 175 right now out of 5,609 stocks, and we've got a 5-year price target on it of 441. Of course, there's no guarantees. But that's our calculation based on the 5-year estimated growth rate of 77%. That ranking on, 175 was not the first time. That showed up many months ago. In fact, even just 2 months ago, it was 127 out of 5609. And the stock was almost half the price it is now. It was 129 at the time. Yeah.
And basically, since we started ranking it, because it's a younger stock, so it takes a little while to get metrics for us to actually rank it and have and actually have confidence in the ranking itself. It came debuted around 518, so it's already in the top 10% of the
right.
5,600 or so that we. That show up in the app. So it's app's a good place to kind of get some ideas. Of course, we've got it as a strong buy at 175, and just you can look at the chart. It kind of it's checking all the boxes, and it's been checking all the boxes for a period of time. So and what we own that we now know we own it in the Ultra Growth portfolio now.
Yeah, so if people want to check out the app, you can go to beststocksnowapp.com or go to gundersoncapital.com, and you can take a look at that. We offer a subset of the database, complimentary, and you can check it out. And then if you choose, you can subscribe there. It runs on, Apple and Android and any other thing you'd like to add to that, Barry?
Yeah, well, from our perspective, right, it's the it's where we start in terms of screening stocks, right? So we kind of start there, and then obviously different from a portfolio standpoint, different risk measures, right? That's going to depend on what portfolio that a particular name will fit in. But it's a good just a great place, and look at it all the time just to see what's in the top 100, what's in the top 300. Just to kind of see those names, and you'll start scrolling through there.
Those lists are in the newsletter as well. So
yeah,
those are both great resources. If you'd rather have us manage your money, which is our primary business, give us a call 855-611-BEST, or go to our website and contact us, GundersonCapital.com.
Yeah, we'd love to talk to you, and just like I said, we're always here to be a resource and happy to bounce any ideas off of you back and forth. So, thank you all for our time, and I hope you have a great weekend. And Paul, thank you for your help, and we'll talk soon.
To buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.